Was it a yes? Yeah. And we explain also that Krishna gave a special kind of mystical vision to Arjuna to see that form. It's not a material vision, and it's also not exactly a transcendental vision as we understand, which is the vision that one acquires when one has developed one's relationship of servitude with Krishna, of service with Krishna. So it was quite amazing. Yes?
Did Sunday see the universal form of Krishna?
Who?
Sunday.
Sanjay? Yeah, because he was describing in the beginning, huh? In the beginning, Sanjay is describing because he also saw. So he saw the form and he begins describing to Dhritarashtra that this is what Arjuna is. First he was seeing. So while Arjuna was seeing, Sanjay was describing. And then after seeing for a while, Arjuna started talking. And he himself started describing the form. Yes. Anything else? Where did we stop? In 23, no? So we saw that the fear, the disturbance, which is experienced by all those who are seeing that form, Arjuna is seeing the demigods being afraid of that form and offering prayers, praying for the pacification of that form. So then Arjuna says that as they are all disturbed, I am also. I am too. So then, in verses 24 and 25, Arjuna is going to express his own disturbance. Nabha sprisham deeptam anekavarnam yatananam deepta vishalanetram drishtvaitvam pravyatitam taratva vritim alindamishamam chavishro. So here he is addressing the Vishvarupa as Vishnu. All-pervading Vishnu, seeing you with your many radiant colors touching the sky, your gaping mouth, gaping means wide open, and your great glowing eyes, my mind is perturbed by fear. I can no longer maintain my steadiness or equilibrium of mind. So here, Arjuna is expressing the state of affairs with him. Seeing the universal form, he says, pravyatita antaratma. So this word pravyatitam has been used verse after verse. It started in verse 20, disturbed. All the planetary systems are disturbed, perturbed, and then it continued in 23, that all the demigods are disturbed, all the sages are disturbed, everybody is disturbed, and so Arjuna is also disturbed, and now it says it's my mind is disturbed. And antaratma. Antaratma means within, like deep inside. I'm feeling deeply disturbed. And what is that disturbance? Well, in the verse it only says disturbed. But Srila Prabhupada, in his translation, it says disturbed by what? What is the disturbance? It's fear. So actually Arjuna has not yet fully expressed that, but Prabhupada is already indicating that. This is going to be confirmed in 27. Bhayanakani. Bhayanak. This means very fearful. So this will be the next rasa, which has started already. Now he's under fear, from wonder to fear. And because of that, he says, dhritim navindami shamam cha. I cannot maintain my dhritim, means my steadiness or my composure. I cannot maintain my composure. I cannot be steady. I lost understanding of what should be done. And shamam. Shamam means the control of the mind, the peace of mind, the tranquility of the mental equilibrium, Srila Prabhupada says. So in the next verse he expresses again, Damstra karala nichate mukhani drishtveva kala nala sannibhani disho na jane nala bhecha sharma prasida devesha jagan nivasa. O Lord of Lords, O refuge of the worlds, please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance, seeing thus your blazing death-like faces and awful teeth. In all directions I am bewildered. Right? Deva Isha, meaning controller of the devas, controller of the devas, Jagan Nivasa, O refuge, you are the refuge of all the world. Please, give me shelter. And he is repeating again and again, Prasida, Prasida, which means be pacified. Be gracious to me, be pacified. He is disoriented. He has lost his balance. There is the word, again, like we heard before, karala, means horrible. Dhamstra karalani, horrible teeth. And then there is another word which is used this time, kal anala. What is kal anala? The fire of death. No, kala anala, the fire of death. It's the fire of time. But what happens when time catches fire? There's death. So the blazing death-like faces and awful teeth. Now, after this, having being completely disoriented, suddenly the Kala Rupa is going to start showing the future. Already he was seeing so many things. And particularly it's going to zoom on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he's going to see the outcome of the battle and the battle itself. Arjuna will see the destruction of the warriors at Kurukshetra. Because you remember, he wanted to know what will happen, what will happen. So Krishna is fulfilling his desire. Ami chatvam drishtarastrasya putra sarve saheva vanipala sanghai bhishmo dronasuta putrastathaso sahasmadiye rapiyodhamukyai vaktrani te paramana vishanti damstra karalani bhayanakam kechir vilanda sanantare Sarveshyante Chonite Uttamangai. All the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with their allied kings and Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and our chief soldiers also, are rushing into your fearful mouth. And some I see trapped with heads smashed between your teeth. It's becoming a little graphic. So this is the vision of the battle. Prabhupada says in a previous verse, the Lord promised to show Arjun things he would be very interested in seeing. So what is it that he's seeing now? It's actually the future. And it's all during the battle. Everyone is dying. And especially who is dying here? Bhishma. Bhishma was unconquerable. How come? I mean, how could it be? No one could think that Bhishma would die. But now Bhishma is dying. Drona is dying. Karna is dying. And these are all the chiefs of the opposing party. Because he was afraid to kill them. But now he's seeing that they're all dying. But not only the soldiers and commanders on the other side are dying, but Arjuna is also saying so many of his own army soldiers are dying. And of course on the battlefield it will mean, if you see on the physical platform, what will you see? That there is a battle and they are all killing each other with weapons. But on the subtle platform, what is actually happening is time is taking their life. Time in this huge, ferocious form with blazing tongues and blazing mouth is simply gapping up, eating up all the soldiers. And it seems that the mouth is chewing up the soldiers because it's a form. And it's amazing that even though it's such an unimaginable mixture of things, at the same time, it's personal. It's a personal form. And it has a mouth, and the mouth is eating up the soldiers. They are teeth, and the heads are being ground by the teeth. And you can imagine, and the next verse is all the blood is leaking out of the mouth, and so this is the vision. The blood is flowing out of the mouth. Then it continues. Then he's going to give two analogies to try to express how these soldiers are being destroyed. Yatha nadinam bahavam budega samudrameva vimukha dravanti tatha tamami naraloka vira vishanti vaktranya vichvananti. As the many waves of the rivers flow into the ocean, so do all these great warriors enter blazing into your mouth. So not only the mouth is crushing the teeth and everything, but what it seems is that their bodies are burning as well. They are all catching fire as they enter the mouth, because the mouth is full of fire. It's a blazing mouth. And as they enter the mouth, on one hand they are being crushed, and on the other they are being burned. Hari, hari. Yatha nadinam bahavom buvega. So as you can see in your mind, so many rivers are entering the ocean, and the rivers have waves. And one wave after the next, it is entering and merging into the ocean, and it never stops. The rivers, 24 hours, they are just entering into the ocean. So the idea is that these two analogies, they expressed slightly different idea. The first idea would be that the rivers flowing into the ocean means that some of the soldiers are entering the rivers like helplessly. It's just a natural flow. It's just flowing ahead. No one can stop that flow, whether they want to die or they don't want to die, whether they want to fight or not want to fight. They are just helplessly dying. Another meaning is unconsciously or unintentionally. So there are different meanings here which fit different people. Like, for example, Bhishma and Drona. How were they participating in the battle? Out of duty. Yes, out of duty. It's not really that they wanted to fight, they were really bent on fighting. No. They were just dependent on the Kurus. And, you know, part of politics and this and that. But it's not that in their heart they were harboring hatred, enmity, and on all these things. They just happened to be there and they had to fight because they were on that side and so on. So they are an example of people who somewhat unintentionally entered the battle and therefore died. Duryodhan, his idea when we talk of Duryodhan is more somebody like who is helpless. Is helpless in the sense he was such a hard core person, such a difficult person, but in front of death, now he is subdued. No one can stop this flow like rivers going into an ocean. It's taking everybody, those who wanted to fight, those who did not want to fight, they are all helplessly being killed by the force of time. Then the second analogy is that of the moth. You know, the moth, little insects that are attracted to fire, and they jump into the fire, and as they do so, they die. So Arjun says, Yatha pradiptam jalanam patanga vishanti nashaya samhedha vega tatheva nashaya vishanti lokas tavapi vaktrani samhedha vega. So, I see all people rushing full speed, it says here, Samrida Vega. The previous one said Ambu Vega. So there is that vague. Vague, as you know, is something very strong. It's a pushing. It's something that just goes like wave. I see all people rushing full speed into your mouth as moth dash to destruction in a blazing fire. So what is the difference here between the rivers entering into the sea and the moth entering into the fire? Yes?
The first one, they have no choice.
They have no choice. It's helpless.
The second one is an intention. Attraction.
They want. They're attracted. Willingly, willfully, they want the battle. They wanted the battle. Huh? So this is another example we can take again, Duryodhan. He was attracted, like the moth is attracted to the brilliance of the fire. Duryodhan was attracted to what? To the glaring material opulence, the kingdom. He was greedy. He wanted the battle. He wanted the kingdom. And then if we take the example of Bhishma and some others who were devotees, they also wanted. But why did they want? They wanted to fight or they wanted to die. But why they wanted to die? Yes, they wanted to die in front of Krishna. they wanted to go back to Golok Dham. So voluntarily they went to the battle because they knew that Krishna is there. And if we die, we will get liberation. And if we die in the presence of Krishna, thinking of him, which is what Bhishma will do in the end, then we will go to his abode. So they were very willingly, willfully ready to die. Now, a little bit more horror. Text 30. Lelija se grasamana samantal lokan samakran vadaner jalabhi tejo bhira purya jagat samakran bhasastavogra patapanti vishnu. Oh Vishnu, I see you devouring all people from all sides with your flaming mouth, covering all the universe with your effulgence. You are manifest with terrible, scorching rays. So Ugra is repeating this again and again. Ugra, very horrible. So what is the description here? We see the mouth, there's a close-up again on the mouth of the Lord. What is it doing? It's flaming, there's flames coming out of the mouth of the universal form. And what is it doing? It's devouring on all sides, grabbing here, there. And does he have to move about? No, actually by the force we heard, they are irresistibly, everything is coming into his mouth irresistibly. It's not that he is running after the people. He doesn't have to run after the people. They are all entering his mouth and he's swallowing on all sides, on the left, on the right, in the middle, in the front. He's just swallowing up. And at the same time, Prabhupada said, I see you devouring all people, but if you look into the word for word, there is lelihyase. What does that mean? You are licking. Means that in the mouth there is a tongue also. And what is the tongue doing? It's licking the lips and licking the blood, you know, because things are falling off here and there, so he's licking the things. Oh my goodness. Licking his lips. I think it's Baladev Vidya Bhushan. It says, licking his lips stained with blood in fury. He's angry. The universal form is angry. This Kala Rupa, time has become angry. And so all this indicates that it's impossible to escape. No escaping from this destiny. And besides this, of course the whole thing is Ugra. And then not only the people, but the whole universe is burning. Because from this form come out burning rays that are heating up the universe with intolerable heat, scorching. Pratapanti, tapa, that is the heat. Pratapanti, they are scorching the universe. Everything is being burned. Phew. Akya himeko bhavan ugrarupo namostu te deva vara prasida vinyatum icchami bhavantam adhyam nahi prajanami tava pravittim. So here, Arjuna somehow manages to say something active. He somehow manages to address the Lord. It's like he was addressing him, but basically he was just talking or describing what he was experiencing. But now he's making a request. let me see, and he's offering obeisances. So now we enter into the next part of his mood. From fear, now he's in awe and reverence. O Lord of Lords, so fierce of form, please tell me who you are, he says. Ka Bhavan, says Ka Bhavan, Ugra Rupo, oh horrible form. Who are you? Tell me, what is your identity? I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. Namostute Deva Vara Prasida. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. So he offers obeisances to that Ugrarupa, and he calls him Devavara, O best of lords, best of bestowers of benediction. Vara usually is a benediction, and Krishna is called Vara because he bestows benedictions. Prasida, be gracious. So he's explaining, he's saying, Akyahi means explain to me. You have to do the narration here, I can't understand, it's terrible. So please explain to me what's going on here, what is all this? Ka Bhavan, who are you? So he's actually asking two questions. One is, who are you? What is your identity? And what is the next one? What is your mission? I wish to know, vigyatum ichami, about you, the primeval Lord. Bhavantam adhyam. Who are you and what is your pravrittim? I do not understand your activities. What is this all about? So what is the mission of the Lord as we know it? What is his mission? To do? To do what? Establish religion. To deliver the pious. To annihilate the miscreants. Yeah.
And establish the principles of religion.
And why does he, in general, why does he want to establish the principles of religion? To reclaim. So this is his mission, actually, we know. This is, he is reclaiming the conditioned souls, and so he's in different ways protecting them, destroying the impious so that religion may not be overcome, and so on. So this is his mission. This is his mission. And Krishna wants us to take part in his mission. This is what we will discover in the next verses. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. So this section is 32 to 34. Krishna is going to request Arjuna to become an instrument. He will tell him what is the mission and what he should, that he's not alone. He wants him to be part of that mission. Kalosmi lokakshaya krit pravritto lokan samahartumiha pravritta rite vitvam navi hrishyanti sarve evastita pratyanikeshu yoda. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Kalosmi, we all know that. This is a very famous statement. He had said that also when he was describing, you remember? When he was describing the vibhutis, he also said, I am time. So now this is the form of time. Time I am, the great destroyer of the world. And I have come here to destroy all people, with the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. That's a little severe. This is Krishna's answer. His identity? Well, he is time. And the Prabhupada quotes from the Katha Upanishad. Eventually, it says that time divorces everyone. Eventually, all the brahmanas, kshatriyas, and everyone else are devoured like a meal by the Supreme. This form of the Supreme Lord is the all-devouring giant. And here Krishna presents himself in that form of all-devouring time. Except for a few Pandavas, everyone who was present on that battlefield would be devoured by him. Phew. So this is who he is. I have one reference here which is from, I don't know where, it's not written, sorry. It's from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Kamsa, for him also Krishna came in the form of time. Kamsa immediately got up from bed thinking, here is Kala. When was that? This is when Krishna appeared, when Krishna was born. You know, the baby started crying. The little girl, actually, Yogamaya, she started crying, and all the guards, they woke up, they ran up to Kamsa's quarters, and they told him that the child is born. So this was his reaction. Kamsa immediately got up from bed thinking, here is Kala, the supreme time factor, which has taken birth to kill me. Thus overwhelmed, Kamsa, his hair scattered on his head, at once approached the place where the child had been born. Prabhupada explains in his purport, the word Kala is significant. Although the child was born to kill Kamsa, Kamsa thought that this was the proper time to kill the child so that he himself would be saved. Kala is actually another name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he appears only for the purpose of killing. When Arjuna inquired from Krishna in his universal form, who are you? The Lord presented himself as Kala, death personified to kill. By nature's law, when there is an unwanted increase in population, Kala appears. And by some arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, people are killed wholesale in different ways. So we should see the will of the Lord. By war, by pestilence. Oh, pestilence means some epidemic, something. Famine, and so on. This is mass destruction. So when there is a mass destruction like this, what should we understand? This is Krishna's will there, in the form of time, is reinstoring some balance. At that time, even atheistic political leaders go to the church, mosque, or temple for protection by God or gods, and submissively say, God willing. Before that, they pay no attention to God, not caring to know God or His will. But when Kala appears, they say, God willing, we will be saved. Death is but another feature of the Supreme Kala, the Supreme Personality of God. At the time of death, the atheist must submit to the Supreme Kala. And when the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes away all his possessions, mrityu sarvaharaschaham, and forces him to accept another body, tatha dehantara prapti, this the atheists do not know. And if they do know, they neglect it, so that they may go on with their normal life. So this is the Kala Rupa, the force of time. So what does Krishna say now? What is his mission? I have come to destroy. First he says, I have come to destroy everyone, all people. But specifically, he has come to destroy the sons of Dhritarashtra. He has come to destroy the armies, the atheistic, materialistic, asuric armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. There was a mixture, we know, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. There were demons who were very inimical to Krishna. There were devotees who were on his side.
On his side?
Yeah, Bhishma was on the other side. He was a devotee.
But yeah. The Pandu side, also the army of the regular people, they were like mixed. Both devotees and Asuras.
Could be because, as you know, the Kshatriyas, you know, the soldiers, as we heard in the beginning of the battle, they had a tradition that before beginning they would make announcement. Anyone wants to change side, they can do. You know, and people would just change side, meaning they were not always very much faithful to the leader on which side. They would just calculate in their small brain where is the best chance to of victory. You know, where are we going to win? Where does it look good? Or where is the best prasadam or something, you know? For soldiers sometimes, you know, who gives the biggest, you know, what do you say, remuneration or whatever, who treats better, never know. Yeah, he says in the Mahabharata when they announced this, that all the pious went on one side, all the impious went on the other. But the point is that whoever was killed, as we know, we explained that one time, that they were all killed in the presence of Krishna. So they all achieved liberation. And those who were purified, they, and who could recognize Krishna as the Supreme Lord at the time of death, they went to his abode. And those who could not recognize him, they went to the Brahmajyoti. So, in that sense. But obviously we would expect that mostly the Asuric armies were on the side of Duryodhana. Now here, Krishna says, Ritepi Thvam Nabhavishyanti Sarve. And Prabhupada has translated, except, with the exception of you, the Pandavas, all will be killed. So this is one translation, one interpretation of this sentence, which means the Pandavas will be saved only, and everyone else will be killed. So this is one meaning, but there is another meaning, which Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. And what is that? Arjuna was not in favor of the fight. And he thought it was better not to fight. Then there would be no frustration for him. In reply, the Lord is saying that even if he did not fight, every one of them would be destroyed, for that was his plan. So what was the second meaning of Rite Pitvam? One is, except for you, all will be killed. Second meaning is, whether you like it or not, or whether you take part or not, whether you fight or not, they will be killed. So this is interesting. Every one of them would be destroyed, for that was the plan of Krishna, even if Arjuna did not fight. If Arjuna stopped fighting, they would die in another way. Death could not be checked, even if he did not fight. In fact, they were already dead. They didn't know it. It was a question of time until they realized they were dead. But they were already dead. So this is the this was Krishna's desire, and in the next verse Krishna will explain that, you know, whether you fight or not, they are dead. But if you fight, you will gain eternal life because you will be serving me, and that's what I want you to do. So Krishna, now he's instigating Arjuna to take up his weapons. Tasma tamutishta yasholabhasva jitva shatrum bhum shvarajan samriddham mayevete nihata purvameva nimitta matram bhavasavyasachin. Therefore, get up, tasma. That is the conclusion. Therefore, Tvam Utishta. It's the second time it says it. Get up. This is not getting up. Therefore, get up. Prepare to fight. Because get up means you get ready to fight. We know why he sat down like a bull on the street who doesn't want to go further. So prepare to fight. Yasho Labhaswa. Win glory. Yash. Fame. You will win fame. So do that. Jitva Shatrun, conquer your enemies. Bhunkshva Rajam Samriddham, and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. Then he explains, Maya Eva Ete Nihata Purvam Eva. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. And he's actually asking him that you please, you become bhava, bhava, nimitta matram, you become my instrument. This is what I want you to do. So he's asking him to assist him. He has told him, this is my mission. I have come to destroy all of them. So now I want you to assist me. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that the world is not moving whimsically. Nothing, as we heard before, not a single blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord, outside of the will of the Lord. Prabhupada explains the whole world is moving according to the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what is the plan? To reclaim the souls. That's the plan. Let's not forget the plan. This is the plan. There is a plan. Whatever happens, it's all planned to bring the people back to God consciousness. All over, it's like that. There is a specific plan being carried out in this material world. What is this plan? This cosmic manifestation is a chance for the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead, back to home. As long as they have the domineering mentality which makes them try to lord it over material nature, they are conditioned. But anyone who can understand the plan of the Supreme Lord and cultivate Krishna consciousness is most intelligent. So the fools, they do not understand the plan of the Lord. And they do anything whimsical or they go against the plan. But those who are intelligent, they agree with the plan. They understand the plan. And not only this, but they try to play their part in the plan. This is what we all have to learn, is how to play our part in the plan. We have something that Prabhupada has explained here in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.143. The Lord appears in the mortal world to execute his much needed mission of killing the miscreants and giving protection to the suffering faithful. In spite of that mission, Lord Krishna tolerated the insult to Draupadi by the Kurus and the injustices perpetrated against the Pandavas, as well as insults to himself. The question may be raised, why did he tolerate such injustices and insults in his presence? Why did he not chastise the Kurus immediately? Right? So Krishna was there and he was to kill the miscreants, but somehow he was not doing it. He was doing something, a few here and there he was killing, but there are times at which he didn't do anything, such as, you know, many times the Pandavas were insulted, they were mistreated, and he didn't do anything. Draupadi was insulted, he didn't do anything. So why he didn't take action at that time? So Prabhupada answers, the Lord was just waiting to get them together on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and kill them all at one time, just to make a shortcut in his killing mission. Actually, it is said in the Bhagavatam that this Kurukshetra, it was the peak of Krishna's mission. And after that, he packs up and he goes. That was the end of his mission. So now Krishna says, in his manifestation of Vishvarupa, the Lord expressed his mission of killing as follows. I have, Prabhupada is now, listen to that, he's paraphrasing what Krishna just told Arjuna. He says, I have willingly descended on the earth in my capacity of inexorable time in order to decrease the unwanted population. I shall finish all those who have assembled here except you, the Pandavas. This killing does not wait for you to take part in it. It's already arranged. All will be killed by me. If you want to become famous as the hero of the battlefield and thus enjoy the booty of war. Where are you going, like this?
I'm going coming.
You're coming. This killing does not wait for you to take part in it. It is already arranged. All will be killed by me. If you want to become famous as the hero of the battlefield and thus enjoy the booty of war, then, O Savyasachi, just become the immediate cause of this killing and thus take the credit. I have already killed all the great warriors. Bhishma, Drona, Jayadrata, Karna, and many other great generals. Do not worry. Fight the battle and be famous as a great hero. So this is what Krishna was saying. The Lord always wants to see his devotee as the hero of some episode which he himself performs. He wanted to see his devoted and friend Arjuna as the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. And thus he waited for all the miscreants of the world to assemble. That and nothing else is the explanation of his waiting. So what did he want to do? He wanted to kill the moment in one time, and particularly he wanted to give the credit for this big fact, act, to Arjuna. This was from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.1.43. Purport to the verse. Dronam cha bhishmam cha jayadratam cha karnam tathanyam api yodhaviram maya hatam tvam jahima vyatishta Yudhyasvajeta Sirane Sapatnam. Drona, Bhishma, Jayadrata, Karna, and the other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Therefore, kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight, and you will vanquish your enemies in battle. So this is the spirit that Prabhupada is conveying to us. Every plan is made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but He is so kind and merciful to His devotees that He wants to give the credit to His devotees who carry out His plan according to His desire. Life should therefore move, now He's telling us to apply this in our lives. We should try to understand what is the plan of the Lord for me. We know the mission. First of all, we should try to know the Lord. Then we should try to understand His mission. And then third thing is we should try to understand what is our part in His mission. And our part means not what we think we should do in His mission, but our part is what He wants us to do in His mission. And Prabhupada would explain, how do we know that? What Krishna wants us to do? We know that through the spiritual master, who is His representative. Life should therefore move in such a way that everyone acts in Krishna consciousness and understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of a spiritual master. The plans of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are understood by His mercy, and the plans of the devotees are as good as His plans. We should follow such plans and be victorious, not in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in the struggle for existence. We should win over. This is expressed in other words here. Prabhupada explains, the relationship of the Lord with His devotees is a very happy one. Actually, the Lord descended at the request of Brahma in order to kill all the undesirables of the world, but to divide the share of glory. He sometimes engaged His devotees to take the credit. The battle of Kurukshetra was designed by the Lord Himself, but just to give credit to His devotee Arjun, nimitta matram bhavasadvisachin, He played the part of the charioteer, while Arjun was given the chance to play the fighter, and thus become the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. What He wants to do Himself by His transcendental plans, He executes through His confidential devotees. That is the way of the Lord's mercy towards His pure, unalloyed devotees. So this is very nice. And this is what He's saying here. Savyasachin. He's calling Arjun Savyasachin. The meaning is, Prabhupada said, one who can shoot arrows very expertly. It is said that this Arjun was so expert. Usually everyone, all of us, we are either right-handed or left-handed. Those who are right-handed, they can do everything very nice with the right hand. Ask them to sign with the left hand, they'll be retarded. And vice versa, those who write with the left hand cannot do anything with the right hand. But what was Arjun doing? He could draw the bow on both sides. He was so expert. In the day, in the night, on the left, on the right, and we know also on the top, looking into the fish eye, in the reflection, he was not even looking up, he was looking down. So he was that kind of person who had an amazing ability as a warrior. So what Krishna wants us to do is use this prowess, this quality, whatever quality we have, to use that in His service. Try to find out what are our qualities, and under the order of the spiritual master. who use these qualities in his service. Krishna wants to use us, whether we know cooking or we know fighting or we know... Yesterday we were clearing Adipurush Prabhu stays on the roof there. So we went to inspect his room before he arrives, and I said, oh, this needs to be repainted. So we are going to shift everything out and we are going to repaint. But then we were at loss. We discovered that Adipurush Prabhu does weightlifting. And he's got these things of 25 kilo, 30 kilo, 50 kilo, all mounted on bars of metal, and we couldn't move them out. So I was thinking, he must be a great Kshatriya. He's doing this Bharottolan, Prabhupada said, lifting up. So everyone has different qualities that we can somehow put in the service of Krishna and be happy. A last quote here I'd like to read is from Srimad Bhagavatam 6.19.5. It's very beautiful. Sometimes the Lord, as the child of Mother Yashoda, requests his devotee for some food as if he were very hungry. Sometimes he tells his devotee in a dream that his temple and his garden are now very old and that he cannot enjoy them very nicely. Thus he requests the devotee to repair them. Sometimes he is buried in the earth, and as if unable to come out himself, he requests his devotee to rescue him. Sometimes he requests his devotee to preach his glories all over the world, although he alone is quite competent to perform this task. Prabhupada is going, we have to hear some Prabhupada's mood here. Even though the Supreme Personality of Godhead is endowed with all possessions and is self-sufficient, he depends on his devotees. Therefore, the relationship of the Lord with his devotees is extremely confidential. Only the devotee can perceive how the Lord, although full in himself, depends on his devotee for some particular work. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord tells Arjun, Nimitta Matra Bhavasavya Sachin. O Arjun, merely be an instrument in the fight. And of course that means without doership. So this is the try to catch that mood that Krishna is working. It's him who is working. He is working. It's his mission. And we simply submit to his will and let himself use us. Lord Krishna had the competence to win the battle of Kurukshetra, but nonetheless, he induced his devotee Arjun to fight and become the cause of victory. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was quite competent enough to spread his name and mission all over the world, but still, he depended upon his devotee to do this work. Considering all these points, the most important aspect of the Supreme Lord's self-sufficiency is that he depends on his devotees. This is called his causeless mercy. The devotee who has perceived this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by realization can understand the master and the servant. This is very beautiful. How the devotee and the Lord are one in understanding how the Lord fulfills his mission through his devotees out of love for them, because it's when the devotee works for Krishna that the devotee is maximum connected and he is one with the Lord and he becomes fully his whole potential is unleashed and he's fully empowered, he's fully happy and he tastes eternal happiness. So this is the relationship between the two, the master and the servant, very intimately related. All right, so we'll stop here for today. Wow, it's pretty early. Oh, sorry, we missed by one day. You wanted to stop early yesterday. I did my best. So today we are going, tomorrow we are going to study the prayers by Arjuna. And let me see. Yes. Hopefully we'll be finishing this chapter. The prayers by Arjuna. Yes. Any more questions? Sorry? Oh yeah, this is 6:19:05. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.